With Yellowstone Public Radio News, good evening. I'm Bree Ripley. About 30 coal cars in a Montana Rail Link freight train derailed this weekend along the Clark Fork River in northwestern Montana. MRL spokesman Jim Lewis says the derailment happened at about 11 p.m. Sunday near Knoxon, just east of the Idaho border.
No injuries occurred and the train was not hauling hazardous material.
Coal spilled out of several of the cars. Lewis did not know when the main rail line would reopen. The cause of the derailment is under investigation. The incident was not reported to the State Department of Environmental Quality or Montana Disaster and Emergency Services. In 2014, a Montana Rail Link train derailed, spilling three Boeing 737 fuselages into the Clark Fork River west of Missoula. There have been 11 train accidents in Montana this year through May, according to the Federal Railroad Administration. The largest wildfire in the U.S. cost the state millions of dollars in resources during a budget shortfall. But as Kay Erickson reports, a Montana legislator thinks that the state could have spent less money on the fires if it wasn't for nearby, federally managed public land.
The largest wildfire in the U.S. this year burned in Montana, decimating 423 square miles of fertile rangeland, and with it, the livelihoods of many Garfield and Petroleum County ranchers. Republican State Representative Bill Harris of Winnett was one of them. Harris documented much of the disaster that destroyed his ranch land on his personal Facebook. He's pointing the finger at a nearby wilderness study area managed by the Bureau of Land Management as contributing to the overall fire destruction. While he acknowledges that a lightning storm ignited the blaze amid an exceptional drought, he's criticizing the unique rules that govern federally managed WSAs, alleging that they caused hesitation among fire managers.
It's not negligence, and that's what people keep thinking it is, and that's not what it is. It's the people with the responsibility, like the team leaders in these fire groups, that have to make decisions of how they deal with the WSA boundaries.
Montana has 44 WSAs, which are a lot like protected wilderness, but just without the designation by Congress. But despite that, WSAs are federally managed either by the U.S. Forest Service or the BLM. The area includes unique rules for the purpose of discouraging development and maintaining the natural state of the land, rules like forbidding motorized vehicles, for example. Al Nash is communications director for the BLM Montana Dakota State Office. He doesn't agree with Harris's claim that WSAs contributed to the Lodgepole fire devastation because fire managers were forced to grapple with unique federal rules.
It wasn't that it was a wilderness area. It was that there was no good access for wildland engines or heavy equipment, and that much of the area is extremely steep with very poor footing, so it wasn't safe to put firefighters on foot in that area.
Nash says that incident response teams respect the unique rules that help preserve WSAs, but in a wildfire emergency, the BLM will do whatever it takes to protect the highest priorities in such a situation, people and their property. Kay Erickson, YPR News.
Visitors to Seattle's Burke Museum over the weekend watched as paleontologists began work on removing sandstone encasing the rare skull of a Tyrannosaurus rex, discovered in Montana's Hell Creek Formation.
It is the iconic dinosaur.
That's Greg Wilson, the paleontologist who excavated the remarkable discovery of a mostly complete T-Rex skull, vertebrae, ribs, hips, and lower jawbone. Last summer, the remains were loaded onto a flatbed truck and hauled to Seattle. Wilson's team has spent the past year preparing the dinosaur's lower jawbone and ribs. On Saturday, they began removing the rock encasing the rare 4-foot-long skull as about 1,200 visitors watched through a large glass window.
Our expert preparators are using things like pin vises, like little needles on the ends of a pen, and they're flicking away the little grains of sand to reveal this beautiful mahogany brown bone of the T-Rex skull, and brushing that away with brushes that you'd paint a house with.
Museum visitors will be able to follow the progress over the next several months. Scientists estimate the dinosaur is 85% the size of the largest T-Rex discovered and lived about 15 years. A proposal to use federal money to help boost the coal industry in the eastern U.S. is raising protests from Wyoming. Wyoming Mining Association Director Travis Deedy says he thinks it's misguided to provide federal support to a particular region against another. Deedy says Wyoming coal would be at a competitive disadvantage. Wyoming is the nation's leading coal producer. West Virginia Governor Jim Justice has proposed using around $4.5 billion in federal funds annually to pay eastern power plants to burn coal from states in the Appalachian region. Deedy told the Wyoming Tribune Eagle that he'd like to see the federal government step away from energy industries in general. Wyoming's top elected officials, including Governor Matt Mead and the state's congressional delegation, also oppose the idea. Officials from a short-term rental online marketplace, Airbnb, have agreed to begin collecting lodging taxes on behalf of the state of Wyoming as part of a new tax agreement. The Casper Star Tribune reports, prior to the agreement, Airbnb hosts were expected to collect lodging taxes from users themselves and send the funds to the state. State Department of Revenue Director Dan Noble says this was rarely carried out. Last year, the department decided to ask Airbnb to take the burden upon itself. Noble says since August 1st, the company has been collecting lodging taxes from total room cost. The move comes just as Airbnb is expecting a large influx of new users visiting various states, including Wyoming, for the upcoming solar eclipse August 21st. Representatives of the U.S. uranium industry will meet in Casper this month for a symposium amid a downturn caused by low prices. Economics are everything for Wyoming's uranium companies as they wait out the industry downturn. An in-situ uranium mine operated by Energy Fuels, north of Casper, went from 38 employees about a year and a half ago down to just 27 today. Goranson is hopeful that business will increase within the next 3 years, partly because of new nuclear power plants in Asia that will increase demand. The Montana Health Co-op resumed accepting new enrollees yesterday after withdrawing from the state's health insurance exchange last year amid worries about its financial health. Chief Executive Officer Jerry Dworek asserts that the co-op is in position to absorb all of 64,000 Montanans who buy policies from the state's health insurance exchange. About two dozen co-ops sprang up from Maine to Oregon with the passage in 2010 of the Obama administration's health care law. But within 2 years, half of the programs folded because of political attacks, financial miscalculations, and the volatility of the marketplace. Montana's co-op, which also serves Idaho, is now just one of four that remain. It enrolls 20,000 of the 64,000 people who purchase individual plans on the exchange, which includes Blue Cross and Pacific Source. This is YPR News.